Lindsay and Whipper.
Nova.
Interesting one in the inner west. The council's began rolling out 35,000 new wheelie bins. How's this, though? Underneath the bin, there's a little circular device, a radio frequency identification device, which can tell the council what your bin is up to, and more to the point, what you're putting in the bin. So it can see when the bin's full. It can see when the bin's been emptied. It can see if you've put the wrong thing in the bin. If the bin is too heavy, it won't be emptied. Do we need this level?
What do you mean? There's no weight restrictions, is there?
Well, there is, yeah, because if you've put too much of the wrong thing in one bin, I've tried it, but you know the green bin out the back where they go, oh, sticks and twigs, no sand and soil. Occasionally, I'll try and fill the whole thing with soil, and the council will turn it upside down and dump the soil outside the back of my house and leave the bin because I've broken the bin law.
Yeah, they get angry, don't they?
They get so angry. So it's also so they can track where the bins are. Mm. So if you put in a phone call to the council and it's registered under your name and you go, oh, my bin's gone missing, they can see, well, at 7:35 on Tuesday night, you took the bin outside.
Find my iBin.
Find my iBin, yeah. And it can track and locate your bin.
But see, I can understand that. They can track and locate bins. But how can they know what's going into the bin with a tracking device at the bottom?
If you fill the bin too full, right, the council can then let you know that the lid's not shut and therefore you've overfilled your bin.
Well, that's pretty easy. That's pretty obvious to tell, though, because when the guy comes to pick it up, yeah, you can't close the lid.
What they're saying is they're not going to pick it up. Because you filled it too much. Or, so the council can then call you and say, stop filling up your bin so much. And you go, hang on a minute.
Or you know when you try and sneak hard rubbish into your bin?
Yeah.
You know, whacking a toaster in there or something.
Well, you're allowed to do that.
Well, I think there are only some things you're allowed to put in there, whereas I've broken up things before and jammed them in the bin, like a cupboard door and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, you do a bit
but
of
see,
that.
No,
yeah.
Wait up. Well, you've got your recycle bin. Yep. You've got your cardboard bin, yep. Right? Two separate bins. And then you've got the normal bin. Yep. You can chuck anything into that bin except for soil and grass clippings and stuff like that. I can understand that. Wait, but you can throw anything into that bin.
Our bin situation out the... Excuse me, our bin situation out the back. We're in an alley. So when I walk out the back gate, there's 10 bins. Which one's my bin? I don't know. And that brings on so many nerves. Yeah. And this would be the same for so many people that have a back alley and living in an apartment block. And the idea that you can walk out and some... Because everyone's quite particular about their bin. To think that you could get caught stuffing something into the wrong bin is quite intimidating. It's like when the cops pull up behind you in the car and you go, I know I've done nothing wrong, but why am I nervous about a policeman being behind me? That's exactly how it feels.
Can you start... You know what? We can all start making money by advertising on bins.
Mm-hmm.
Can companies approach us to put their logo on our bins?
Right, I stuffed my junk into Fitzy's Nova bin.
That's not bad. Like I'm rocking around in an Adidas bin or something, you know?
That's not bad.
Is that what you want your brand aligned with?
Well, that's the thing. You'd get paid, though. It could be a bit off your council fees.
Yep.
Take a bit off.
It's not a terrible idea.
It's not a stupid idea. It's all space. I got the other day, so whenever I walk out the back gate with my bins, right, I've got my garbage bin and then I've got my cardboard and then I've got my plastic to put in the three separate bins. And one of the neighbours down the road is so anal about how this bin system works. This is why I do it now after dark, because I don't want to get caught. Sun's going down the other day and I walk out the back. As I'm putting the cardboard and the plastics in there, he wanders out. As I go to put a coconut container, right, into the bin, the cardboard bin, because the majority of the container is cardboard, he says, hang on a minute, why don't you just take the lid off because the lid's plastic? Put the lid in the plastic bin and the cardboard in the bin. This is what I'm dealing with at my place.
That's what you could do, mate.
Yeah, but if I was to break apart every bit of plastic from cardboard and then separate into whatever else was rubbish, mate, it'd be a full-time job.
Oh, mate.
Be stuck there for weeks trying to sort out my garbage.
Well, it's quite easy to do. Just take the lid off.
I don't need a council to be monitoring my bin deposits.
Well, Married at First Sight, it is still going at the moment. But the one couple that we thought were going to go all the way was Sean and Susan. They did steal the hearts of Australians. And unfortunately, last night, Susan had to say to Sean, I really love you, mate, but I can't move to the farm up in Queensland. She's a WA girl. And we got Sean with us now. Welcome to the show, Shawnee.
Morning. Thanks, guys.
Shawnee, not easy to hear those words, is it?
No, not at all.
I mean, we've all been dumped. How are you feeling?
Put it that way. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, it does hurt a bit, you know, but hey, what can you do, really?
So, well, it is, I mean, it's a huge divide. To pack up her family and her life from WA and make it all the way over to Queensland, it's not like you can just jump on it or a little Rex plane and go home every weekend to see her family. So it was a big move for her, wasn't it?
Oh, look, it is. It's definitely a huge decision, you know. You had to take in family, friends, work, you know, and she just had to pick up everything and completely move to fit over, you know, because we had stated from the wedding night, basically. Yeah. That they were the issues that we had. Yeah. So, yeah.
How did you find the whole process? Well, you've done a bit of acting, haven't you? You've been on an acting.
No,
but what was that? Where was that profile come from?
Well, I was actually on Family Feud last year, so you had
So
you had to have a profile to go on Family Feud. So that's where it's all come from.
Funny.
But hey,
How'd you go on the feud, mate? Did Grant Daniel look after you?
Got dumped on Family Feud too.
Don't you hate that? That doesn't happen to all of us.
How did you go? Like, being a country boy.
Yeah.
And mate, I loved your old man. Geez, he got emotional at the start as well.
Yeah.
He just wants to find love for you as well. But how did you find it with cameras in your face the whole time?
Look, honestly, the first week,
yeah.
I noticed the cameras were there. And then after that, it was just, I didn't even know that they were really there. It just come natural. But, you know, you would have seen from the start, even when I sort of noticed the cameras were there right through till the end, that, you know, I was just myself anyway. So it's not like you were just trying to put on an act or anything like that.
So were you frustrated by any of the edit on it, Sean, were you?
Oh, look, you know, when we signed up, we know that, you know, what you say, what you do, they can use in any way they want. So, you know, which I'm sure that we've all seen bits and pieces there. But,
yeah. Well, the other controversial night was the boys' night out. That's where you all had a few beers and you had dinner at home. And that was when Jonesy Andrew was having a few problems with Cheryl. And we've spoken about this on our show quite a few times. And they were getting stuck into Cheryl quite a bit. So you decided to stick up for Cheryl at a dinner party one night and told everyone what the lads were saying. Was that as frosty as it was on the show, or did they edit that up that night?
No, look, I tried saying my piece at the boys' night by I was actually trying to stick up for Andrew and Cheryl and tell everyone sort of back off and give them both a break, you know? Like, everyone's come into this and, you know, they've obviously had a harder start at everything than all of us.
Yeah.
And then they sort of shut me down, so I just, you know, I just let it go and, you know, I knew where I stood, so then it fired up at the dinner party a bit, but you got to understand, you know, a lot of that's filmed over a long period of time. So yeah, they do cut it down to a shorter period, but you know, there were some heated moments in there, but you know, everyone's open to their own opinion.
Yep. So it's the reunion. Like, I mean, Married at First Sight, it's still going. Like, I mean, I feel like over the past month, it's basically been the same conversations about the relationship, but you're doing it with different people.
Yeah.
You're speaking to your dad, you're speaking to your mates, you're speaking to your kids. But now it's reunion. All right. So Susan said to you last night, I love you, Sean, but I can't move to where you are on the farm.
Yeah.
But you get back together tonight. Is there a chance at all? Has she been thinking about that? Did you keep in contact with her the whole time during this process before the reunion party?
Oh, look, we are still in contact.
Yeah.
We still do chat. But look, you know, you got to understand, like, this 8 weeks, you're thrown into so much. You got so many challenges that you're thrown into. And, you know, like, in a marriage, in a relationship, you don't just run.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the challenges that we've had are just, like, full on. So we've tried every possible thing that we can do to make this work. You know, we had her, spoke to her friends, you know, we went over to the homestay, we had the lunch together and had the families get together. You know, I spoke to my mates, my dad. We've tried everything we possibly can. And, I just...
Shawnee, if she was listening right now, what would the message be to her?
I'm happy for her to, and I hope she does find love out there, and, you know, because she's definitely given me hope that there's someone out there, and because she's a very positive and caring girl, and I'm just happy for her for what goes on in the future.
And the other big question before you go as well is, what television show are you going to go on next? That's, I mean, your Family Feud, Married at First Sight. I mean, what can we throw you? Survivor. Do you want to go on Survivor?
Oh, well, you know, like, yeah, let's go.
Can you cook a bit of MasterChef or something?
Well, that's right. No cook. No cook.
No cooking shows.
All right, the reunion dinner party is tonight, 7:30 on Channel 9. It's Married at First Sight. Sean, thanks for coming in, big fella.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having
Sean.
Me.
Thanks, Sean.
Let's talk about chemsex parties, guys.
Huh?
Let's talk chemsex parties.
Have you ever heard what these are, sir?
No, what's chemsex mean?
Well, I think it's when you go to a party and you look for a bit of chemistry.
I've heard of a chemsex.
If you find someone that you have chemistry with and then you go and have a bit of intimate time. That's what I thought it was.
Isn't that the only reason you would ever have sex with someone, because you have chemistry with
them?
You don't walk up to a person you don't like.
Sarah, I've been to a couple of parties, and I tell you what, I've dragged a couple of doozies home.
Oh.
That was a joke, by the way. Back to chemsex parties.
No, basically, it's where people take a lot of chemicals.
Oh, God.
And then, you know, they sort of get off their heads, and at the end of the night, you may get intimate with someone.
Ever been
I don't think
Canberra.
You'd find love.
No, it wouldn't be love.
Fine heart, yeah. See, the reason why I'm talking about this, though, because there's been a guy who's been busted over in London. He's an Aussie bloke. His name's James Shugg. Shuggy. Jimmy Shugg. And James is a Westpac economist.
Oh, okay.
Right? And he goes on television for Westpac. He's appeared on the ABC, Sky News, CNN, BBC. He's pretty big. What does an economist do? Just checks the economy every day?
Yeah.
It's going all right.
Checks in. Looks like it's up. Looks like it's down.
Predicts the ups and downs, doesn't it?
Yeah. And he has a look at the different sectors
reads
throughout
the
economy.
How do you know that?
Gives a bit of a breakdown.
Just looking at trends, what's selling.
Okay.
You know, have there been terrorist attacks? That changes the economy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well done, see? Okay, you're an economist. Didn't know that.
Yep. Anyway, and she's also into chemsex parties.
He was... Shuggy's 53 years of age. He lives with a girl who's 20 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And on the weekend, Shuggy, during the week, will tell you how the economy's going. Like you said, Sarah, terrorist attack this week. The economy looks like it's going down. But then on the weekend, Shuggy likes to get a few people over for chemsex parties.
Okay. Let's talk chemsex parties. Yeah, sure.
He's been busted. He's going to jail for 5 years.
Why is it illegal?
Why is it illegal?
The chemicals?
Oh, the drugs.
Well, yeah, they went through his house. They found cocaine, crystal meth, methadone, meow meow,
meow meow,
meow meow is a drug.
Meow meow. Cats.
Oh no,
no, no, no,
no, that's
no,
one of the chemicals. Meow meow.
Yeah.
Does that turn you into a cat?
It can.
Or are you looking for a certain?
Oh,
is that what you have when you're looking for?
No.
For what? I don't get it.
Neither do I, sir.
Well, if you need a pet.
Yes. If you need a cat.
You want to eat cat food.
Oh, look, sometimes if you need a family pet, you take a bit of meow meow and see what you can drag home.
Oh, I see. I bank with Westpac.
Yep.
I've never been offered anything like this.
Never, ever.
You know, I just thought, you know, if I was with Westpac, maybe I could have got an invitation. I've got an invitation to a couple of charity balls but never to one of these parties.
That must be what private banking is all about, Fitzy. So, I mean, just your standard banker, you go in, I've got my Dolomite account and I withdraw and I make deposits there.
Yeah.
But once you get let in the side door and you're a private banker, right, a special customer, I reckon that's when you get the handshake. And by the way, we got a meow meow party back at my place tonight.
Oh, wow. That's when ATM stands for something else.
The beautiful Adele, of course, took off from
Tottenham
our shores.
Don't like flying.
Oh, she did like flying. She took off to NZ. I don't know if you saw the footage of her performing in Auckland last night. Could have been Saturday night, actually. And it was bucketing with rain.
Oh, no.
So there she is on stage, if you can picture the entire full setup. Mm. And she's got her beaded dress, which is meant to weigh 20 kilos. And over the top, she's just got the poncho on, mate.
Did she really?
Whack a poncho on and keep singing.
Go for
it. Don't let a bit of drizzle get in the
way.
I'm
glad she didn't come off.
No.
You just got to keep going.
You've got to keep
in the
going,
rain.
Mate. The crowd's paid a fortune for those tickets. She's also confessed, and you'll see in page 4 of the paper today, that her 4-year-old son, Angelo, has started copping her foul mouth ways. She said, unfortunately, my son swears. What can I say? Every time I do something wrong, he'll turn to me and he calls me a bloody bumhead. Bum, you bloody bumhead. And that's the watered-down version of what he serves up to his mum.
We had a big conversation with Huey over the weekend just about swear words.
Yeah.
And we asked him, to his face, have you ever sworn before? And he said, nah. Huh? I said to him, you don't have to lie to me. You and your mate, I said to him, my mates and I, when we were young, we swore all the time, but we did it with each other and we didn't do it around adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to do it around your mates, but you just can't be doing it all the time.
Yeah, it's about manners.
He understands, Sarah, but you know, like, you can't completely say to him, never, never swear.
He doesn't swear at you though, does he?
Nah, never.
Yeah. Course.
Never.
13, 24, 10. What word have you heard far too early out of your kid's mouth? That's what I'd love to hear this morning. It's one of those, our family was so strict growing up. If you said bloody, that was a swear word, and you went to your room. If you said D-head, bang, you'd be straight to your bedroom.
Well, D-head's quite aggressive.
It can
bloody,
be done.
Bloody doesn't feel aggressive.
But some of the smile on your face, I reckon you can get away with anything.
See, my brother-in-law drops F-bombs consistently around the kids.
Do you tell him off?
No, I don't see him enough, to be honest with you, to do it. So when I do, I'm not going to lecture him, but I'm just like, oh, dude, come on, man. And it's not like my kids are having a full conversation with their uncle and sitting down and he's dropping F-bombs around them. He does it around his kids.
But you have to know. You have to know that they are probably swearing amongst themselves. One of the great betrayals of my sister, we used to catch the bus home from school and there was probably like a 15-minute walk home. And this was in early primary school and we'd have a little cone of silence and we'd just kind of swear to each other to be naughty on the way home.
Yep.
And then one day my sister just went to mum and had to clear a conscience and said that I would just swear at her the whole way home.
You're kidding.
On the way home from the bus. And I was in trouble for about 3 years.
Classic small Matt DeGroot.
Well, no, it's just kids swear, mate. Don't tell their parents.
Do you know when I notice the most? And I do it as well. Mm. But I remember when Dad was a footy coach there. Dad didn't swear around us as kids. But as soon as he got on the phone to his mates.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, the expletives that would come out of his mouth.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was just everyday conversation.
I'd never hear Dad swear, and I'll never forget being in the back shed when he hit his hand with a hammer one time. And I just stood back and saw him unleash with every swear word you've ever heard. And I went, oh, God, Dad's like all the others.
Charlotte in North Balgala, what did your little brother say?
Well, when my brothers were five, they're twins, they would go into their rooms together and they would spell out the F word together.
Oh.
So they obviously heard it from my mum or me, but they would spell it out together and then they would never get the last letter right. So I remember one day they came into my room and they're like, hey,
what's the last letter?
What's the last letter in
this word?
We're trying to get it right.
Well, see, the other one, I had a mate when he was younger. His name was Clint, and when he put his name up on the board at school, if you put the L and the I together,
that's not good.
Could spell another one. Jeez, that was a beauty for us as kids.
You'd almost name your kid Clint based on the ability to do that when you write your name around it. It's a classic.
Christy in Maroubra, what did your sister say?
She called our father an F&B, and she got 2 spoons of hot mustard in her mouth. Our father was very strict. He was not having none of that.
What was put into her mouth, Christy?
Hot mustard. Two spoonful of hot mustard.
Because the old soapy water, did that ever...
I've had that.
Do you got that done?
Yeah, I said the F word to Dad, and he grabbed a bar of soap and scrubbed my tongue with it. And then for days afterwards, you could just taste soap in everything.
My God.
Did you do that to Tom? Not because of his expletive.
Because of his pink eye.
Just because of his bad breath at the moment.
Kelly and Ingadine, welcome to the show. What has your son been doing? Hello, Kel. Bloody phone box doesn't work. Oh, I've sworn, guys, the phone box doesn't work.
Oh, there it is.
There we go. Kelly, what's your son been doing? What's your story?
He's into Mick Dundee right now. And as you can imagine. And recently I went out for a couple of drinks with some friends, got home early. My husband had just bought a frozen spaghetti. I come home, I said, "G'day, buddy, how was your dinner with Dad?" He goes, "You can live on it, but it tastes like..."
Bullfighting. We went over, actually, to Cancun, Mexico. We saw a bullfighting event over there for a footy trip. We went over there for the Swans. Didn't really get into it. Didn't like it at all.
I wouldn't go. I hate it. It's cruelty to the utmost. I think it's disgusting.
Well, the best thing about it was at the end, they actually wanted a volunteer out of the audience there to actually go up against a smaller ball, like
a
younger ball. To be a younger ball. And Greg Stafford, our big ruckman, put his hand up. He went out there. Staff's a big boy. Mm-hmm. And what he did, he actually got around. The ball went him a couple of times with the red rag. And Staff decided to grab the ball, flipped it on its back and took it to the ground. He actually tackled the ball to the ground.
That's what I mean.
Which was a great effort. I mean, that's okay. You can tackle a ball.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't throw spears into its back.
Mm.
That's what these guys do over. There was a big event going on. And unfortunately, one of the matadors over there, he got knocked to the ground, Sarah.
Mm.
And a ball with a very sharp horn has lodged that horn...
Oh, in his backside.
Right up his clacker.
I said, what in the butt?
Oh.
A horn, if you're questioning it, Matador.
Wow.
To answer your question, it's a horn straight up your jacksie.
That.
So not in Fitz, it's not in the cheek. Mm. It's right in the old aisle.
I said what in the
doctors said the groggy 38-year-old Matador needed his entire anus and sphincter stitched back together after the animal's 11-inch horn travelled into his nether regions.
11 inches.
That imagine is one. Pulling him off that.
Oh, that's a big horn. How was your weekend, mate? Oh, I got a horn in the bum.
I mean, because I'm just trying to think. He's lucky to be alive. So, of all, well done. You're still alive. But then he can't sit down.
What about when
he has to go to the toilet set?
Nah.
He'd have to hover.
Oh. What would he do?
I mean, you know when you first start eating after an operation, you might be a bit constipated and that, and you finally start eating, and then that first one, and then you'd be just going, oh, no.
I said, what?
Oh. I mean, we've all seen a big horn before, but never do you expect to be lying down and getting it straight in there.
Because he was pinned to the ground, sir, and the ball got him to the ground, and the ball's just turned its head to the side and just gone whack in the clacker, and then it's just sort of like gone in even more.
Yeah. Can the bull be declared the winner on the day?
Well, you'd have to think so, wouldn't you?
Because if the idea is to win the crowd, you've definitely got my vote, bull.
Let's talk about Aussie singer Kate Campbell. Yep, she's finally spoken about what happened in Rio and the meltdown that went that threw her from the race that she'd actually a month earlier broken the world record for. And we remember this moment because, you know what, there was a bit of criticism around Kate Campbell because she'd set herself up so beautifully in the heats getting into the final.
She was immoral. Like, that was one that you penciled in for a gold medal, sir. Mm, she was so dominant.
Yeah.
That I was just going, boom, this is it.
Mate, it was devastating, and devastating for her too, and it was upsetting that the rest of the country said, hang on a minute, you should have done better when the poor thing gave it her best. I don't know if you remember this interview not long afterwards. Have a listen.
I don't want to reflect on it. Every time I do, I'm overwhelmed with embarrassment and shame.
Mate, it was horrible. Oh, she came sixth in the final.
So what are we talking here? Is she about to reveal she had gastro or did she have a bit of a bug? Or?
No, she's come out and said it was a good luck text message that completely threw off her game. So this was the night before the swim. She received a text message from a friend, just a friend, and it said, I'm so excited to watch the race. I've booked out the boardroom in the office so we can all sit in there and watch you. It was at that moment.
It's not really going to too much of an effort, is it?
Booked out the boardroom. Hang on a minute. I've said to the receptionist, can I have the boardroom between 1 and 3pm?
Yeah.
We want to watch some swimming.
She's a telemarketer as well for Telstra, so.
Which is a bit frustrating. I mean, if she'd written, guys, I've organised some pizza cupcakes and I've booked out, I don't know, ANZ Stadium for 100,000 of my best mates.
Yeah.
Come and have a look. But she said that was the moment that she thought, hang on a minute, this is bigger than me. This is the nation on my shoulders here. I can't fail. And the minute that got into her head, the whole thing was over.
Anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
See, who's the friend? Name her. We need to track her down.
As if this friend hasn't seen this article and now feels solely responsible.
I know.
Yep.
It's a bit severe.
I think the friend, you're right, should put their hand
up. That's right. Immediately loses her job, so she never gets to use the boardroom again.
Never book out the
boardroom. She's let down the whole of Australia.
Yeah, she has. I wouldn't even let her into the stationery cabinet at work. But imagine being that person.
I see, you're right.
Imagine being that person. Because she would have got, like, lying there before a race, you would have got how many messages of good luck?
Yeah, so don't pick up your phone. Put your phone away till after the race.
I completely agree. But remember, for athletes, it was always encouraged, you know, back in the day, send a hero fax, guys. Let them know you're behind them. So these days where you can contact people directly, she would have been bombarded with good luck text messages, everyone thinking they were doing the right thing to say, hey, we're with you, babe. Good luck in the pool.
But so you know what? You give up your phone, you give up the faxes there. There's other ways you can get to them. Homing pigeons.
That's not bad.
She might be there just at Rio, just going, I'm not going to check my phone, I'm not going to do anything. And then all of a sudden a pigeon just comes onto into a balcony there.
Long way from Australia.
It's got something on its leg.
You might pass someone in the hallway, they just say good luck. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kate, everyone's behind you at your local primary school. Good luck.
Oh no.
I can't get into the pool.
Pigeon to be stuffed flying all the way from Australia.
That's interesting.
All right, let me throw one at you because I want to win these gold class tickets. Yesterday, Bronte Beach, Jonah Hill.
No, he wasn't.
Interesting.
Well, what time? Because I was at Bronte and I didn't see Jonah.
3:30. I just got off the miniature train that goes around there.
No, he's not in the country.
Tommy, is he in the country? Confirmed.
No, no. The most recent reports are of him looking very trim exiting a gym in LA late last week.
He could have got over here.
He could have.
It looked so much like Jonah Hill.
Don't make stuff up, mate.
It must have been Jonah Hill.
Imagine when people tell you you look like the skinny Jonah Hill. It's not a compliment, is it?
The fat version.
Guy in grey stains. Who did you see, Guy?
Guy Sebastian.
Bang. Whereabouts, mate?
So Guy saw
Guy.
Sorry,
he was drinking coffee. Come on, yet.
That's interesting.
Jeez, so, did you, when you have the same name as a celebrity, I mean, that's a great conversation starter. Did you go up and say, my name's Guy as well?
No, I wanted to leave him do what he was doing. He was just drinking coffee.
Wow, that's did it look one. Like...
Probably sick of it.
What sort of coffee did it look like, Guy?
It was a soy flat latte.
Oh, wow. Jeez, you're accurate.
No, two sugars.
What did you hear him order, did you, Guy?
I'd had a taste of some of it.
This is getting weird. What? Okay. This is getting weird. What, do you leave the table and you decided to finish it off or something, Guy?
Yes, pretty much.
Oh, God.
Did you really do that, Guy?
No.
Yes, then I followed him home. No, I'm only joking.
sounding weird. My fake laugh suggests you're weirder than I'd hoped, Guy.
Tim's got rabies. Who did you see, Tim?
Tim Burgess, just after he spoke to you guys on Thursday.
Oh, on the phone. Yeah, because he was on the way to training. So where did you see him, Timmy?
I've seen him at a South Coogee service station.
Oh, yeah, filling up the car, Timmy, or...?
Yeah, filling up his car, yeah.
What sort of car's he getting around in, Timmy?
Oh, should I say that?
Yeah, well, he's got a good car. I think he's got a sponsorship, hasn't he, Tim?
I'm not sure. He had a Range Rover.
Oh, geez, look,
that's
out.
A fancy car. That is a really fancy
car.
Got
to have a bit of money to buy a Range Rover.
Things are doing all right, the old Sammy Burgess. Jenna, hello.
Hey, how are you going?
Good, Jenna. Who did you see?
I saw Casey Chambers at the Pocket Bar at Terrigal. She was sitting with a couple of my friends who were also artists, and I got to go up and have a chat with her and get a photo. And
jeez, that's all right.
My little starstruck moment.
Can I just say, one of the loveliest ladies you'll ever meet in your life, Casey Chambers.
Absolutely. She was so lovely. Gave me the time of day. We've got each other on Instagram now, bizarrely.
That's nice.
She's pretty cool.
She's such a talented girl. That's a good one, Jenna. That's going to be tough to beat, that one.
It is.
Kathleen and Illawong, who did you see?
Chopper Reid, actually. My sister was sitting behind him on an aeroplane, and she was kicking his chair. And he's turned around really angrily, and my dad's like, oh, no, I'm so sorry, but can I get your autograph?
Oh.
And he kind of just stared at my sister like, don't do it again.
Wow. And this obviously wasn't recently, or else it would be a Weekend at Choppers.
No, yeah, it was a while ago, yeah.
Weekend at Choppers would be a good movie to the follow-up to Weekend at Bernie's.
What's he carrying him around and shoot people?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
You just go, you know, you just grab one arm and you've got him, and hey, Neville bloody Bartos.
That's
you do
not
the
bad.
Voice. You could even get, what's his name? Heath Franklin. He does the chopper.
Oh, yeah, does the chopper.
That'd be a good movie.
Yep, good idea.
Eduardo in Bondi. Who did you see, Eduardo?
Good morning, boys. I saw Kelly Rowland at Anita having ice cream with a few friends.
Oh, wow. Rowland.
Kelly
absolutely gorgeous woman.
Yeah, she is. What was she ordering, mate? What sort of ice cream?
I think they were finished by then. They were just sitting down chatting, and I couldn't help myself. I had to go and introduce myself and say, welcome to Australia. I knew it was her as soon as I saw her. I didn't know she was here for The Voice. She told me that she was here for The Voice.
Yeah, right.
Well,
okay,
so she was rapt to meet you, Eduardo?
Oh, of course.
She wasn't into herself like Seal is at the moment, was she, Eduardo?
No, she was very lovely, down to earth. I said, welcome to Australia. I'm a huge fan. And she said, oh, thank you very much. You know, I said, are you here for a holiday? She said, no, I'm here for The Voice.
The Voice, yeah.
Wow.
Eduardo, what's your favourite Kelly Rowland song?
To be honest, I just remember her from Destiny's Child,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, right, so you're not a big fan.
Everyone does. Hey, Eduardo, before you go, Beyonce, Kelly Rowland, who was the other girl from Destiny's Child?
Michelle Williams.
Well done, Eduardo! You've done Bondi proud this morning, Eduardo.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks for your call, Sam. Big decision here. Gold class tickets.
Eduardo kind of proved himself there, but I did love Jenna's because not only did she meet the celebrity, but they swapped Instagram handles. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Jenna, you got a couple of tickets. Enjoy. You're off to the movies. Lights, camera, hilarity. Sarah, some huge Harry Styles news over the weekend.
This has sent fans into a frenzy all weekend. He has teased the release of his first solo single in this mysterious TV advertisement. So the ad, which aired in the UK on the weekend and is going to play over here, revealed he has something in store for fans on the 7th of April, and then Billboard confirmed it's actually the singer's his debut single.
Wow.
So an instrumental track, not sure whether this is his song, but this is the music playing in the ad as he walks soaking wet towards a door
and
hot. He opens it and it just says April 7th.
Why is he wet?
And don't then
it
know. Goes.
Is it inside?
Let's we don't try, know
let's try to
about.
Pick it. I miss you, 1D. I'm going to start an acting career.
We're a bit flat there
it's
on the
not chair. Because he's in the new movie, Dunkirk.
He is. It's going to be a big year for Harry.
Fitzy, I do think, sorry to cut you off, sir, it would be worth putting together something we believe the track will sound like before it actually comes out.
Well,
to
that's
compare
not bad.
Two musical geniuses
Let
releasing
me,
Harry's track before he
I'm
does.
I'm the one that chased down Mariah Carey. I got Katy Perry's song. Have we got any of those?
No, yeah. You don't.
Also, Justin Bieber's new song. We have that one. And Michael Jackson's Shimon by My Glove.
By My Glove. If you
that
think,
was amazing.
If you think you can drag this out before April 7 and beat Harry to the post, good
have
luck.
We got the Mariah Carey song?
Oh,
have we?
Do we? That's good news.
Love hurts. It's time for you to talk.
That's good.
Now I'm glad we're done so I can finally walk.
Oh, it just hurts my ears every
oh,
time
it
you
hurts
play
everyone.
That.
Oh, I love
more
it.
More exciting news for 1D as well. Liam Payne has announced over the weekend he is a new dad. He's had a baby boy with Cheryl.
Oh,
I don't think we call her Cheryl Cole anymore, just Cheryl.
Taking away the glory of Harry Styles' announcement
well,
for
no,
first.
Because this actually happened on Wednesday, but they didn't tell anyone. And then over the weekend, they released a statement.
So he waited until Harry's ad came out and
sort
then
of.
Announced
it. So you suggested that Harry maybe said to him at a bar 9 months ago, I'm thinking about dropping a song. And he went straight home to Cheryl and got intimate.
Go for it, Harry.
No, these two get along very well. Someone did point out, though, that Harry announced this 2 years to the date since... Zayn left One Direction. I mean,
means
these
nothing.
Fans
oh,
can find
means
a fact.
Nothing.
They can find a connection for anything.
Stop
it makes
digging.
Me laugh.
Love
but,
hurts.
Hurts, people have sent their well wishes to Liam and Cheryl, Khloe Kardashian, Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, amongst the few who've sent over messages of good luck,
he
congratulations.
Would have been happy to hear from
very
Rosie.
Exciting. Yeah, they would have, but they're all friends.
Who's Rosie Huntington-Whiteley?
She's having a baby. She's a supermodel. You love her. You've commented in the past. She's having a baby with Jason Statham.
Oh he's
Statham.
Great, Jason
he's
Statham.
Fabulous.
Yeah, he's
fabulous.
He's funny. He's nude in the start
the
of
actor.
One film.
Mm.
He's
yes.
the actor.
A man has been charged, guys, in relation, this is kind of odd, to the theft of John Legend's luggage at an airport in New York. Now, New York is notorious. Mm-hmm. The baggage handlers there are apparently the worst in the world because they do go through a lot of stuff. John left his Louis Vuitton bag. This seems odd, though. He left it on the luggage cart, and it had $30,000 worth of Cartier cufflinks, clothes, sunglasses, all sorts of things, and he's just left it sitting there on the luggage
bit
cart
silly,
and then wondered why someone would...
Put them on your carry-on, mate.
Well, oversized baggage.
Yeah,
that's what I always do with my Louis Vuitton suitcases.
For sure. And what else do you reckon is in John Legend's suitcase? Just a piano.
Yeah.
You open it up and he's just ready to go at any time.
The Legend t-shirts. Yeah. Legend.
The best part is that the guy who took it, he's gone up, grabbed the bag and started to run. Now,
don't
there's
run.
No way that people don't turn their attention when you're sprinting
you
off
with well,
a
if you see someone running with a Louis Vuitton bag, you're pretty confident they haven't bought it.
Yep.
Yes, very true. Finally, over the weekend, Love Actually, this the sequel film, sort of it's a 15-minute film that I've been telling you guys about, was released for Red Nose Day over in the UK. It is pretty amazing. I don't want to spoil it for you in case you want to see it. There's no plans to air it here that I'm aware of, but you can watch it online. But Hugh Grant's character, obviously in the first film, was one of the favourites. He played the Prime Minister, who then fell in love with his secretary. In this, he's back in the, what do they call it over there, 10 Downing Street?
Yeah, number 10.
Yep. So he's back in the role as the Prime Minister. And unlike in the first film where he was dancing to Jump, this one, it's Hotline Bling by Drake.
Yeah, right.
But he's at least 13 years older, so he's very grey, a little bit old. He actually falls down the stairs while dancing to it, and then you see that he's still with this girl.
How many times have I told you not to dance down the stairs?
Once or twice, yes.
Was it Hotline Bling again?
Yes, I'm afraid it was. When I hear that Hotline Bling, that can only mean one thing. I assume that cup of tea is for me.
No.
You've changed.
I haven't. I'll make you one. Come on.
Come on.
I liked it best when you worked for me.
Couple of extra kilos on him too.
They all looked pretty good. Martine McCutcheon, his partner in this, she did not age a day.
No, she's very attractive,
but
isn't
they
she?
All they look amazing. There's a Kate Moss cameo in there that's quite good as well. It's fantastic 10 minutes. Very sweet.
Good on you, Sears. I love that. Story from the front page of news.com.au if you want to go and check it out. It's about a reality four TV show that was filmed in the UK. This is sensational. It's called Eden, I assume, after the Garden of Eden. And the idea is that contestants go and live in the Scottish Highlands without anything. Like, it's one of those, dump them in there and see how they go.
Survive on their own.
Yeah, they do, man.
How do you eat in the Highlands? It's freezing.
Find a chicken, kill it, eat it. I don't know. They ended up eating chicken feed, some of them. They all had dental issues by the end of it. They're in there for 12 months. That's how long the show goes for.
So it's like a hardcore Survivor.
Oh, it is really hardcore. Look, there was a mix of people. Majority of them had dropped out after about 3 months. They thought, bugger, this is too hard. I don't want to kill another chicken and eat it, and I'm freezing cold. I'm going home. Makes sense. For those that remained for the 12 months, they got out of the show expecting that everybody has been watching at home, and they would walk out back into society, and everyone would go, oh, my God, we saw everything you did. You made it. Congratulations. What a show. Unfortunately, not the case. The numbers weren't great for the program, and they stopped airing it after the first four episodes.
Oh.
What's interesting is they left the contestants in there for the rest of the 12 months.
Yeah, but didn't they pull all the cameras and stuff?
Well, they must have kept filming for some reason. Maybe they wanted to release a DVD special. They were also fascinated by the social study of what these people would do if they're in the wilderness for 12 months. But nobody had an idea that it had stopped.
Wow.
The show wasn't on TV. You would think a family member would have got onto it and gone, hang on a minute, my husband, right, he's committed to this, but it's not on TV anymore, got onto them and said, when's he coming home?
That's very expensive too, wouldn't it?
Very
expensive. What a waste of money.
Maybe they signed off on the budget running the whole way, so they thought, bugger it, we'll just keep going.
In case we can air it later.
Yeah, maybe we can sell it to another country or something, sir.
But what about family members as well? If you're, let's say your son or your daughter has gone onto a television show and it's been axed after 4 weeks, do you just go, they must still be in there? That's fine. As if you wouldn't blow up and go to the media.
That's exactly my thoughts. We're on the same line.
It sounds
there.
A bit dodgy, doesn't it?
So, look, I my general understanding is, though, that if you are on TV and it doesn't go to air, especially with game shows, you don't get the prize.
Oh.
Nothing happens.
Extras on Summer Bay. God, there'd be so many extras. And, I mean, extra work, apparently you go out there, you spend the whole day, a lot of waiting around. You get that one bit when you're in the back of the surf club there, Sarah, having a sip of tea or choosing a song on that stupid jukebox.
Yep.
And then a lot of people don't get on, sir.
Do you get paid, though, even?
Yeah.
But
paid well as an extra.
Remember,
well,
you
get
I
think Alf cooks you up a barbecue and you get a couple of free snacks.
Remember I did a scene in Underbelly, you guys, I'm sure, with Squizzy Taylor.
Can't
you might remember it.
What was your
if
role?
If you yell out action, you can hear me do it live here on
Three,
the show too.
3, 2, 1, quiet on set, action.
Mr. Taylor! Mr. Leslie Taylor! Because he was meant to appear in court and he didn't. I put an accent on
for
it.
Is Leslie a guy's name?
Yeah, it is. Oh. Can be. Strange thing was, I was sitting with the extras that were actually involved in that shoot and the conversation was, hey, mate, how'd you get a line? Almost like I was being bullied because I had a line in the show. And
Don't say that at the Logies.
How'd you get a line? Just waited outside for a bit. And then I had to explain to them, no, this is a cross promotion. I work in the media game and everyone was quite relaxed. Like you fight for a line on TV.
Billy Jean's giving us a call from Penrith. What did you never make it on, Billy Jean?
Jerry Springer's quiz show, a game show in the UK.
Mm.
But even though it didn't go to air, it was called Greed, I did get the money.
Oh, did you?
Oh, so did you win the quiz?
Yeah, it was a team game. I didn't know the team members, and we all won 7,000 English pounds, so about 14 grand.
Jeez, that's all right.
That's not bad. So, Billie Jean, did you know when they were filming it that this is a pretty dodgy show? You didn't think that it would go to air, or...?
No, having a big star like that, like Jerry Springer, and it seemed to work as a game show. It was like Millionaire Hot Seat, but in a team. No, I didn't know it wasn't going to work. I got my check. I banked it. I was happy.
Was he a good bloke, Jerry Springer, Billie Jean, or was he a bit of...
No, he was really good. He's got lots of disabled children, like grown-up children.
Yeah.
And they were in the audience and they loved it. And he was such a nice guy, yeah.
Wow.
God, what an event, Jerry Springer.
Well, you would think Jerry Springer, you would definitely get on if he was hosting a show.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Billie Jean probably needed, you know, that she's probably got four different husbands and
yep.
She's got eight different kids to seven different fathers. Well, then she would have got on the Jerry Springer show.
One of them's turned into a lady and
well
no
done,
one knows
Jay.
It. That was really
bit late, but
really
well done.
About a minute
no,
too
no,
late,
no,
Jay.
No, you wrapped up Billie
That's
Jean and then
That's really
went with
good,
it.
Jay.
What song have you got for Terry from Strathfield?
Jay's just woken up, everyone. Hey, mate.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We started 2 hours ago.
Hey, guys, do you remember back in 2014 when we spoke to a listener called Billie Jean?
Oh, yeah.
I've got something
okay.
for
Thanks,
you.
Jay. Terry, hello.
Hi.
What didn't make it to air?
I did a commercial in Alice Springs.
Oh, what was it for?
Just for a pharmacy.
Oh.
And they picked the other girl. Obviously, I wasn't good enough.
Oh, and can you remember your line, Terry?
It was just trying out lipsticks and saying, like, you know, they have everything here, all in one spot.
Okay, well, Terry, let's do it again. Okay. Let's hear your audition. Let's, okay, quiet on set, everyone. In 3, 2, 1, and action.
No wonder you didn't get the job, Terry.
There was a bit of controversy in the Fitzgerald House over the weekend.
Everything all right, mate?
So what happened on Friday is that Huey's iPad went missing, Sarah, and everyone went into meltdown, right? Because mm-hmm. the boys get like an hour a day to go on their iPads, okay. and it's something that they look forward to. You can get them to do their chores. You can get them mm-hmm. to do stuff like that because they know that the iPad's there. iPad was gone. So Lenny's got an iPad from... I reckon about 7 years ago, it's horrible. It hardly even works. But Huey's got the newer one. So,
yeah, sure.
Like, Lenny doesn't even use his. He just sits around Huey's and they watch YouTube clips and they really get into it. Couldn't find it anywhere. So, we're retracing our steps. For 2 days, couldn't find the iPad. There were tears, mate. There were tantrums. I can't function, Dad. I need my iPad. Okay. Where's it gone? Who's... And we thought that someone had actually may have broken into the house and the only thing that they stole was Huey's iPad because it was nowhere to be seen.
Can I guess? Was on top of the car with the $7,000
no,
of BJ's cash?
No, it wasn't. We checked both cars, couldn't find it. So we thought someone had stolen it. And then I went, oh, wait up. What am I doing? Find my iPad.
Yeah.
So I went onto my computer... Went in there, tracked it down, saw the GPS. The iPad is in the house somewhere.
Great.
It's got to be here. So then we use the sound function, start pinging Sarah. So that's ping, ping, ping. So we're looking around the house mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, up in the boys' room, can faintly hear it.
You're kidding.
So the whole family scouring on the ground, hands and knees. Where is it? Where is it? It was behind... The built-in robe, I don't know how it's got there, under a cushion. That's where it was. We get it out. Everyone's cheering. We look around. And there he is. The little rascal. Lenny starts breaking down.
We
Lenny.
Found it. Yay.
Lenny, did you take the iPad?
No.
Lenny, come and... Were you the culprit? Did you
Daddy.
For 2 days, you can hear the pinging in the background.
Yep.
For 2 days, he followed us around, retracing steps, knowing the whole time the little mongrel where it was.
Well, mate, hide and seek is one of the first games you ever learn. So Lenny's just got the family involved in 48 hours.
Stitched up the whole family.
Well done.
So good luck at the orphanage, mate.
Yep.
We would never do that. How's this one? Spanish mother. Poor mum has been taken to court. Her son, 15-year-old son, is suing his mother for taking away his mobile phone in an apparent attempt to get him to study a little bit more.
Fair enough.
She said, you haven't got your phone anymore. He's left home. He's run out at the age of 15, and he's also hired himself a lawyer, and he's suing his mother.
It's a lot of effort, isn't it, to sue a parent?
He wants her jailed, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does want her jailed.
Fair enough.
The judge seems to be laughing at this whole case, but, I mean, this has happened a couple of times before where kids have actually sued their parents for things that they've done. It might be a good moment for me, and you know this story, and it really affected me for years. When Dad... I won the under 14 coaches trophy at the Port Nalunga Footy Club, and Dad was the coach.
Hang on, you should have been happy with that. You still got an award.
Yeah, but I wasn't one of the best players, Sarah. I hadn't gone through puberty yet. I was actually not very good. And Dad got up there and made this huge speech in front of everyone. This kid, he rocks up to training on time. That's because I have to get a lift in with you. He's always there at the end because I have to get a lift home with you.
Oh,
you know, he's just always there. He loves his football. That's because my dad's the coach and you gave me the coach's trophy.
Would you like to sue him for this?
Well, I don't know. I might give Dad a call just to see what his thoughts are.
Sure.
I haven't given him the heads up on this either.
What's Mick doing this morning? Bacardi for brekkie?
Because you know what as well? The bullying that I copped afterwards was horrible, see?
Oh, Fitz.
Yeah, he'd be having a bagel and Bacardi. Does it every morning.
He'd be in his massage chair watching Fox Sports News.
Come on, Mick.
Come on, Dad.
Hello.
Hey, Dad. How you going, mate?
Pretty good.
You're on air. Are you eating, Dad? What's for breakfast?
I'm having toasted. Mouthful of bloody toast. You caught me at the wrong time.
Oh, did Claire cook it for you, Mick, or are you doing your own brekkie at the moment?
No, I don't know how to do toast.
Yeah. Dad's horrible. Hey, Dad, we're reading this story at the moment. There's a Spanish mum who's been taken to court. She's being sued by her own son for taking away his mobile phone. So this is really taking off at the moment, where you can sue your parents for things that have happened in your life.
Yeah.
And Dad, I think it's a good moment just to tell you that I've got legal advice. I've got myself a lawyer, and I'm going to be suing you for handing me the under 14 coaches trophy at Port Nalunga Footy Club when you were the coach and you were my father.
Oh, man, I felt that sorry for you that year. You didn't have a very good year, and I thought, I'll try to make him feel a little bit better and give him the coaches trophy.
But oh.
It didn't go down too well, did it? No, I'm afraid.
Subsequently, I was bullied, Dad. I lost all self-confidence and I failed to secure a job at McDonald's, a junk food corner there at Norlunga, and that's because of that decision that you made for years after that. And I've worked it out, Dad. If I worked, say, 3 years at McDonald's, flipping burgers out the back, I probably would have made part-time about $180. So, Dad, yeah, I'm taking you to court for about $200 because legal fees will be in there as well, Dad.
How do you plead, Mick?
Oh, God, what a joke that is. I mean, $180.
Yeah, I'll just have to remind you that anything you say right now, Mick, can be used against you.
And, Dad, all that takes is you just have to rip off a couple of pensioners down south and put a couple of ceiling fans in.
I'm still getting over that bad reputation that you gave me up here. $180.
Yeah.
Nah. Sorry, mate.
Do you remember that time that I went through Mum's... You busted me going through Mum's purse? Do you remember that?
I do. Going through your mother's purse. Money, yeah. I remember.
He was looking
to buy fags. To buy fags.
No. He was looking for $180, Mick, because he's been damaged for so long. We're still looking for the cash.
I remember the look on his face when I just about present the trophy, and he's realised, hang on, he's going to give this bloody coach's trophy. The father of the kid is going to give his own son the coach's trophy.
It's horrible, mate.
And I was just about to announce the name, and he yelled out, "No!"
Yeah, I did. Oh. And then when I got back, Sarah, I was getting underneath the table at the footy club. I was getting camel bites. I was getting Chinese burns from the other teammates. Crow pecks in the back of my head.
Oh, Fitz.
It's horrible.
So, Mick,
listen to Dad's laughing.
Are you going to give your son the $200 or the $180? You're still keeping the cash under the mattress at home, Mick?
Hey, mate, I'm an old pensioner now. I can't afford these sort of bloody things.
Yeah, you're still using your burns there, Dad, to get out of speeding fines?
Oh, gee. little bit heavy on your old dad, right?
No, I do love you, Dad, when you're fast asleep. Sydney, Spencer
and Whipper. Nova. Wanted to get a guest on this morning. We celebrate her every morning. Well, she celebrates us too because she's non-stop on Twitter, knows everything about the show and claims to be our number one listener. We welcome Gabby from Milperra to the show. How are you, Gab?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, yeah, we're good, Gab.
Morning, Gab.
Gabby is amazing. Like, I mean, she tweets us every day. We reply. Look, Gabby, also, we see you at a lot of events. You do listen to this show quite a bit. How long are you in the car every morning, Gabs?
Usually on the train, but I'm actually driving this morning. But, from 7 till 9.
Wow. Although without wanting to discredit your love of the show or your judgment as a listener, you did tweet immediately following the rap battle on Friday declaring Whipper the winner, which went against...
I did. I'm sorry, Maddie.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And that was back in the day when I was a rapper, Gabby.
Strangely then, right, just a couple of days later, she's on the show. At your
No, but what we wanted to test this morning, Gab, because you do say that you know the show better than anybody else, so what we thought we'd do is go around the room. Everybody's got to deliver a piece of information. Gab, you've got to guess whether it's true or false, okay?
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, right. So we were asked to come up with a fact about our lives.
Yep.
And it could be true or false.
All right, well, Maddie DeGroote, why don't you kick it off? Here we go, Gab.
All right. In the weekend, the Saturday Lotto, I had a not life-changing, but certainly not insignificant win in Saturday's Lotto.
Okay.
This
true
Saturday.
Or false?
True or false? Saturday just gone.
I'm going to say false.
Ooh, I'm sorry. I had a $13.62 win in Saturday's Lotto. Not insignificant, but not life-changing.
$13. All right, Sarah, what have you got?
Great start.
Last week, Gary and I bought a house together.
Oh, we know you've been looking. Oh. True or false, Gab?
I know you guys are pretty close. I want to say false.
No, it's true. Oh,
is that right?
It is.
Wow. Jeez, that's taking the next step.
Wow. Well, all right. What's works, its very Sarah? Specific address?
No, Canberra. I'm not telling you.
Canberra.
No,
wasn't
it's
I
not,
one?
But that's where he is. But no, we've got a place.
Oh, you've well got your own sir. Love nest.
We do. It's great.
All right, Fitzy, you go.
Okay, Gabby, I spent a night in jail. And unfortunately, I had to stay awake the whole time because my friend who I was in there with passed out and I had to defend him because someone wanted to fight him on the ground. Is that true or false?
Nope, no way.
No, it is what true. Is it?
Oh, my God, Jesus Christ.
No, that was true. Timmy Boston. I was trying to stick up for him and I got thrown into the lockup as well and he passed out in there and a guy tried to fight him.
Yeah, I have.
All right, what about this one, Gab? I'll go next.
Come on, Liv.
All right. Lisa and I have decided to take up early Sunday morning archery classes.
I hope it's false.
True or false, Gab?
Oh, man, I feel like it's something Lisa would want to do. I'm going to say true.
No, it's false stuff. She,
you know what,
she won't come with me, Gab, to be honest.
This is great.
All right, Tommy, you're up.
Oh. All right, here's mine. To round it out, my wife, Inga, and I are having another baby.
Oh, Gab, true or false?
It's true. Yeah!
Gabby, so close.
50-50 chance. Gab, you didn't get one right, but that's not the point.
Our best listener.
Tommy's going to be a dad again.
Yeah, we're on again. Good
Mate,
on you guys.
Where are you at?
13 weeks now, Whip.
Oh, you little you've done it again. Yes.
So you've done it twice,
twice
now at least.
Now. Yeah, but who's counting, you know?
Well done, Tommy.
Good on you guys.
An important moment on the show, and I want to talk about what happened on Friday, which, of course, was the wrap-up of the week. And I am rapt that you're all here. I want to thank you for coming along today. This is actually my official press conference. I'd like to read out an official statement that I have here.
No one called a press conference.
I know I did.
Did you?
Yeah. The weekend has brought a chance to reflect on Friday's rap battle against Matt DeGroote. It's also given me a chance to spend time with my family and talk with my friends about the decision of my professional musical career.
You don't have any.
Taking into account the outcome of Wrap Up of the Week and the feedback from my management, I have decided to drop the mic for good. And today I announce that I'm retiring from rapping.
You're not allowed to just retire.
After 10 well-fought rap battles over the past 12 months, the winners' board clearly supports my decision.
You're being lazy. You just don't want to write them.
Yeah, that's
and you don't write
Sorry,
them.
Questions at the end, please. Rapping can be judged in many ways, lyrically, consistency, rhythm, but overall entertaining.
None and of which you have.
Having delivered a rap that I considered to be all of the above, I was still not victorious and left with one question. What else can I give? What else can I give?
Is this a Donald Trump press conference?
The opportunity to other rappers, an example of what not to do. So that is it for me today. I'm signing off by saying, I'm back and I'm bad. I'm fat but not sad. Thank you for anybody that
has
enjoyed.
Still
no,
rapping.
That was just a famous line
retired.
I have officially retired. And I wanted to let you guys know, this is obviously big news today across all news outlets. And before it's announced, I know that it's the lead story also on the Channel 10 News.
In breaking news, Radio Nice Guy Whipper has decided to wrap up his rapping boots after a number of devastating rapping defeats. So what will the self-proclaimed Rap King do next? Well, that's the big question.
That is the big question,
Sandra. Poor Sandra Sully didn't get a weekend, did she? She had to record that for you.
What do you mean? I didn't know she did the news on a phone as well.
She doesn't do the news on a phone. That was straight out of the studio, but I needed to make it official today, and I want to congratulate Matt, because I take nothing away from Friday's win. You did everything right, and congratulations.
I didn't,
you deserve the victory.
Had I have known that you were so fragile at this place and that it meant so much to
it's
you.
It's not fragile. It's just a realisation of your position. Now, if you continue to lose week after week, you can understand why you would think to yourself, what's the point? And that's where I've come to. I've got better things to do than consistently lose.
Is this
the
message that you want to send your boys?
Yep.
That if at first you don't succeed and you continue to not succeed.
If at the first 10 times you don't succeed, don't dust yourself off and try again. Get the F out of there would be my tip. So,
first of all, a majority of those raps even write.
Can we just have the question from the back of the room. No. What's your name and where are you from?
You didn't even write a majority of the
raps.
I wrote
the majority
from the team.
That's wrong. That is completely
to do it
incorrect.
For you. Second of all, you can't execute.
What's your question?
It's Donald Trump. Just let me ask
the question.
Fake news.
Fake news. Mate, so you don't even do anything yourself. You can't execute it properly. You know what I mean? Like, this is a challenge in your life. This is maybe one time that you can succeed and show your kids that you can do something.
Are you meant to be motivating me? What is this besides another attack?
But see, you can't pull out a rapper the way
I've officially retired.
I feel bad. I feel responsible for this because I didn't give you the win
You were simply in a position to judge, and that's what it is.
And I spend my life judging you.
You've made that decision. So
yeah, you've never been a winner in my
books. Let's look back on some of the great efforts I put in for Wrap Up of the Week.
I'm like a male Jess Malboy. Fletch, you better watch your back or I'll egg you like a cowboy. Don't forget, this is my city and you are just a traffic piggy. So ring a ding ding, I am here, the king's arrived, no need to fear. Scattered pictures. Kanye 2020, Trump today. Why not Sarah for president? Yeah, that'll be the day. Now hang on, go with it. Hot woman in charge, blonde hair, those golden locks. Yeah, first policy reads this Friday, free Botox.
Oh, didn't even rhyme.
That's exactly why I'm retired.
Whip for the win, vote one. Whip for the win, vote one. Whip for the win. Oh, God, get me down off the harness.
Get me down off the harness. So thank you, anybody that ever believed and supported me in my rapping career.
But see,
today
you know what?
You can't talk me into it.
Your footy career, you gave up. Your year 12, you gave up.
Schooling, you gave up.
TAFE course, you gave up. Building course, you gave up. Rapping career, you gave up. You are the ambassador for the loser.
That's very harsh.
I would hereby like to declare...
We will only
after
accept it if you
I'm
wrap
talking,
your resignation.
Sarah. I would like to declare that the friendship between Fitzy and I has also come to an end today. If Sarah wants to continue to try and make fat jokes, we can always try and support her. But unless you've got anything constructive, Sarah, instead of just jumping on a bandwagon, then I suppose drop the beat one more time. I'm going out with a smile.
Oh!
Drop that beat. Yeah. I know you think it's clever, drop the beat, expect whatever. You know what I've said, I'm done forever. But in the words of what I'm trying to endeavour, I say to the public, never say never.
Hang on. home, you just retired.
What about, he's written another one.
I haven't written anything.
You just read it off a sheet.
I haven't written anything.
Got into a bit of a, there's been shots fired between myself and my old high school.
No, you don't want to do that.
Now, you know I've got stuck into my high school a little bit, and that's sort of self-deprecating because, you know, I didn't do too well as a student there as well, so
So what grade were you at this school?
No, I went to year 12.
Oh, the whole high school.
I completed
year
12.
Yeah, sure.
Ours was out of 70. Right. And I got 37 out of 70.
Right.
So I've just got over the line. I've crawled over the
line.
Bit
of halfway.
So on the weekend, I'm watching. Geez, it was good to have footy back. The AFL was back, and I'm watching the Crows. I'm watching my team, and they were playing okay, sir, but they were making quite a few mistakes, and their finishing wasn't that good. So I tweeted, "Our finishing has been more questionable than a student at Wirreanda High School."
Ooh. Oh, fits.
Right. So I've just thrown it out there. That's got fun. A little bit of a laugh. There's a few people down south that I grew up with that were sort of having a bit of a laugh back. Then all of a sudden, I receive a tweet back from Wirreanda Secondary. "Our calibre of young people has somewhat greater aspirations in life than being on reality TV.
Oh!
Perhaps you should come and visit."
Jeez, they've thrown an uppercut there. Solid from them.
I've actually gone, that's not bad.
Yep.
So I've retweeted theirs and said, "Great comeback, I've learnt from the best."
That's quite good.
You didn't fire any more punches?
Then the thing is, though, been getting into a bit of trouble. Mrs. Fishpool, the principal, wasn't quite happy as well.
What's she done?
So then I wrote a tweet to Mrs. Fishpool saying, "Mrs. Fishpool, I'm so sorry, apologies. You know, I learned how to self-deprecate from a young age. It's good to have a laugh at yourself sometimes."
Isn't it? What did Fishpool write?
Nah, she just favoured it. She didn't really say anything.
You know what? I got a phone call from the school and they said, "We're trying to get in touch with you. Someone wants to speak to you about getting an entertainer to the school, right? To speak at assembly." And I thought, this is unbelievable,
great.
Because I wasn't an academic at all, and I would be surprised if I was considered a great example of a student. Well, you're right, a student overall. I didn't do any study. Anyway, I thought, I couldn't believe this, and I rang down and I said, "You're not going to believe it. I've just missed a phone call from the school. They've left a message. They want to get in touch with somebody in the media in the entertainment game to come and speak at assembly." I said, "Dad, I'd be so nervous to do this." So I rang them back and said, "You know, hi guys, Michael Whipfley here, finished in 97 and they went, "Oh yeah, of course, thank you so much for calling back. We're looking for someone to come and entertain at the school. We were wondering if you could put us in touch with Pete Hellier."
Is Peter Scotchboy?
No,
he's not even from there.
No, not at all. Nothing to do with the school. Nominated for a gold Logie, but that's about it.
I want to hear from people 13, 24, 10. If you've ever stitched someone up and you've gone to a party and told them it was fancy dress when it wasn't, it's a great joke, Sam.
I love it.
We did it with a mate of mine. It was black tie, but I said it was a black tie with a touch of pink.
Oh.
He turns up, right, without a word of a lie, Matty Spargo, turns up black tie with a pink feather boa on. Like, you didn't even have to go that far. I would have put a pink pair of socks on or something,
See,
mate.
At least so you could take that off, though. We had a mate who, it was black tie as well, but he'd been told it was superhero. So he rocked up as Action Man.
No way.
And
everyone was in tuxedos.
His nickname was Action Man.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
That is brilliant. 13, 24, 10, if you have stitched someone up and they've rocked up to a party dressed completely different to everybody else, because this has happened over a group of mates over in the UK, because it's a big night out now, the darts. Have you seen the darts?
Oh, yeah.
It's on Foxtel now. Like, the World Championships are huge. But this was just a local darts. So it wasn't... Usually they do dress up at the big World Championship events. This one was a local one, and the boys were going there and... They got under Darren, poor Darren, told Darren that they're all dressing up as Smurfs. So Darren said, "Well, I might go a step further. Do you mind, guys, if I go as Smurfette?"
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Sure. That's
so
good.
They're all in the car, fired up. They're dressed up in their jackets and their jeans. They're looking quite suave, the boys, and then they go pick up Darren.
"We're running out tonight, but we've told Darren that we're dressing up as Smurfs. Are you dressed as a Smurf, Brad?"
"I'm definitely not dressed as a
Smurf. Let's go see this. Let's go see."
"We're not even in fancy dress. I'm not blue.
You're dressed up as..."
So Darren rocked up to the darts. He was the only one dressed up. And he was there as Smurfette. And there's this story. It got on a television of just him sitting there with a beer in his hand, just with this with the worst frown. The poor bugger.
Just outstanding. Sarah's in St. Clair. You were stitched up, were you?
Yeah, I was.
What happened?
Pretty big. So my friends are sort of known for having fancy dress parties, and I go to a lot of effort being a bit of a seamstress to go all out.
Mm.
And my best friend, just like she's turning 21, she's like, "Sarah, go all out for me and be the best person at my party." I showed up as Pebbles. I had the bone in my hair, the whole lot, and everyone was just dressed completely normal.
Oh,
that's annoying, isn't
that's
it?
That's horrible, isn't it?
I mean, you would have realised the minute you walked in.
It's a bit of a laugh at the start, isn't it, Sarah? You have a bit of a chuckle, but then for the rest of the night, you can't relax.
Oh, it's all right. I called my mom and I might bring me a jeans and a T-shirt, Mom. Oh,
well done.
Rescue outfit. Thanks, Sarah Lee. Welcome to the show. What happened to you?
Oh, hi. Yes. I was invited to an F party. It says F party on the invitation. So, okay, I'll go as a fairy.
Yep.
So I dressed up. I had my magic wand and I made fairy bread and everything and turned up and it was actually F for 40. There was not one other person dressed up as me. But anyway, I was a real hit that night. You know, in a black tutu thing on, and oh my goodness.
It's the big F. She's having the big F 40.
What do you know? George in Redfern, hello. You were stitched up.
Good, yourself?
Yep.
I am a formal party, but everyone told me, only me, it was bondage. So I went and hired a leather harness, whip. Thank God the crutches, leather pants didn't fit. Talked a flatmate into coming to... Got him onto a chain and collar, walked in, and everyone was informal.
No way. So cool. You've got your mate chained to you in leather.
Exactly. He's coming as my little puppy, and I'm all weathered up to whip the work.
Oh, no, George.
And they're all in bloody... black
eye. You've got to send us a photo, George. I love that story.
George was the most popular one at the party, night. God.
Lost the key to the handcuffs, too, to his
that
mate.
That is a ripper.
You beauty. Ladies and gentlemen, Fitzy and Whipper.